everyone, and welcome back to the D-Lord NBA podcast presented by CLNS Media, the leading online provider of audio and video content. I am your host, Devin Lloyd, and today is your episode for Thursday, October 11th. So we have quite a few news stories to cover around the National Basketball Association, but we're going to be starting things off with probably the main game last night. The Los Angeles Lakers took on the Golden State Warriors in T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. Still preseason action, but this game had a playoff-like atmosphere. It was the first time that we will see LeBron James and Lonzo Ball together on the court at the same exact time. Of course, for the Golden State Warriors, this was almost a dress rehearsal, but no Draymond Green, who was still out with knee soreness. And then, of course, DeMarcus Cousins, who we're not planning on seeing for a few more months. But other than that, a lot of these guys almost played full-time minutes, except for LeBron James, of course. And the first thing you could say when you look at this game is LeBron, he looked very, very good. He looked like he's in mid-season form already. Fantastic game. Only played 18 minutes. All of that in the first half. Did not play in the second half at all. Had 15 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists on 5 of 8 shooting from the field. He looked incredible. He did absolutely everything. He was plus 4 throughout the game. So while out there, he was looking solid. Rajon Rondo did get the start over Lonzo Ball. Rondo played a total of 19 minutes, had 7 assists, no points. That's pretty much what you expect from Rajon Rondo. But Lonzo Ball ended up playing a total of 23 minutes. We didn't know how long he would play, how much he was in shape, but it looked like conditioning was not a factor for Lonzo Ball. He was getting up and down the court. That is definitely a good sign. He did airball his first shot, so that wasn't good, but that could have also been jitters, been nervousness. He ended up knocking down 3 of 5 that night, so last night. So shooting the ball, still struggled a little bit. They talked about his new jump shot that still looked very similar to his old jump shot. Still very much a set jump shot. Still going to have trouble getting that off if he's trying to pull up or trying to get it off in traffic. But while wide open, which he should be a lot more, especially with LeBron James out on the court, it could definitely be a decent jump shot maybe in the league. He definitely needs to shoot with more confidence. You've seen that later on in the game. He looked like he lacked confidence early on in the game. So hopefully, as long as he gets that confidence flowing, things could be good. Caldwell Pope had 20 points. He had 11 points in like the first 5 minutes of the game. He got the start to last night over Josh Hart. He looked better than Josh Hart last night. I still am an advocate of starting Josh Hart long term over Caldwell Pope. But Caldwell Pope did hold his own last night. He hit 3 of 6 from the three-point line. He's still going to play defense. The Lakers, they're switching everything. And I think that's going to continue to be the plan throughout the season until a team proves otherwise. They will try to switch every single screen. Didn't quite help last night. Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, they were pretty much shooting lights out. Steph had shot two or three from the three-point line. Klay Thompson, 4 of 9 from the three-point line. But early on in the game, they were definitely hitting the shots. Kevin Durant looked like he could not be stopped. He ended up being fouled out in the third quarter. Really didn't matter at that point. They looked good. The Warriors, they're still going to be, of course, one of the top teams. But the Lakers looked very, very impressive. Yes, they lost technically the first quarter. Second quarter, they looked good. Third quarter, they put up 40 points. So for LA, I am excited to see what this team's going to do. They looked very good out in transition. They were moving the ball well. They were getting the ball out in front of them, especially having Lonzo Ball out there. You've seen the lineup. There will be times where Rondo and Lonzo are on the court at the same exact times. There's also going to be lineups where we have Caldwell Pope and Josh Hart on the court at the same exact time. And I like that lineup a lot because now all of a sudden you go from a lineup that's not very strong at shooting to having two shooters out on the wing with, of course, LeBron James. In that lineup, we probably have Kyle Kuzma at center for you. So I do like that lineup as well. And speaking of Kyle Kuzma, he had 22 points, 7 of 16 shooting, struggled shooting threes, struggled a little bit early on from the free throw line, but he was able to kind of fix that and remedy that later on in the game. He's still learning a new position. He has never played center ever in his career. He's now being asked to essentially be the backup center for the Los Angeles Lakers. And he's looking more comfortable at this position. Way more comfortable than he did in the first preseason game against the Denver Nuggets. He's looking a little bit more comfortable now. Now, of course, you're playing the Golden State Warriors. They're not going to really press you at this point at that center position. There is no Boogie Cousins. So things could definitely change once they get DeMarcus Cousins in there. Or they start playing other teams that have more traditional centers that are just naturally bigger and stronger than Kyle Kuzma. Brandon Ingram, he's been looking very good. And I haven't been huge on Brandon Ingram. I haven't been one of those guys who think Brandon Ingram is next. I haven't been one of those guys who believe he is the next superstar. I do think he's talented. I just never thought he was as this talented as he's been showcasing this preseason. Playing with LeBron has done wonders for Brandon Ingram. He's way more aggressive shooting. He's looking for his baskets now. He got to the free throw line. He shot 17 free throws. We would never have seen this from Brandon Ingram in years past. So he's way more aggressive. I like it. I like this Brandon Ingram a lot. And if this is what we're going to expect moving forward for LA, you can see why they didn't trade him to get Paul George. You can see why they didn't trade him to get Kawhi Leonard. If this is the Brandon Ingram that you will get moving forward, he looked very, very good last night. He led the team in points with 26. He had 5 rebounds. Like I said, his plus minus was 11. And he went to the free throw line and shot 17 free throws. So that is definitely always a good sign. But for LeBron James, he's going to make everybody around him better. Every single person around him better. Michael Beasley, he has struggled once again. He has been struggling throughout this entire preseason. Lance Stephenson, he looked good. Played 27 minutes, had 12 points. He's Lance. He's going to be extra. He's going to be dramatic at times. But I like Lance Stephenson so far for this team. I like the fit. I like the grit that he plays with. And I like the energy that he plays with coming off of the bench. Still no Mo Wagner. We're not going to see him for a while. He has that left knee contusion. I think he could help out this ball club as well coming off the bench. I don't see him playing a lot. But I do think he could help out this club coming off of the bench from that backup center position. Because he could stretch out the floor. Mo Wagner could shoot. Zubac, not a huge on him either. He did not play. That was just simply a coach's decision why he did not play. And I definitely do expect Mo Wagner to jump ahead of him in that rotation. Golden State, really wasn't a lot to say. It's Golden State. Like I said before, they led by Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson. No Draymond Green for them last night. They end up losing the game, but they're going to be just fine. Their biggest factor is going to be motivation and how motivated they are come the regular season to try to win every single game. Now, one of the other big news stories that happened yesterday was, of course, Jimmy Butler. So, no, he was not traded yet. He met the other day with Tom Thibodeau. He ended up practicing with the team yesterday. He did say he would like to be traded by Friday. So, we don't know if that still stands or not. But Jimmy Butler right now is a member of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And it looks like that could be the case for a little while now. I do think he will be traded at some point. I don't see any scenario where Minnesota holds on to him past the trade deadline. You have to get something back for Jimmy Butler. But looks like Jimmy Butler will definitely play. And for Thibodeau, he's hoping that if Jimmy Butler's out here or just being there, it could definitely help increase the offers that he gets for Jimmy Butler and the value for Jimmy Butler. Because we do know the Miami Heat are still interested in bringing in Jimmy Butler. They just don't want to give up two of their young pieces. They'll give up one. They want to give up Josh Richardson if they have to give up one. But they don't want to give up Josh Richardson and a Tyler Johnson or Josh Richardson and a Bam Adebayo, who, by the way, had a fantastic game last night. Do not sleep on Bam Adebayo out of Kentucky, my alma mater, of course. But Bam Adebayo, he had some game. Definitely watch what he could do this season and in the upcoming seasons. He is somebody I think a lot of people are sleeping on, but he definitely does have the talent. Even though he's slightly undersized at the center position, he does have the talent to have a huge impact. But going back to Jimmy Butler, he showed up to practice, literally from what we're hearing, just in time to scrimmage. He wasn't there at the full practice. He was there just in time to scrimmage. And when he walked in, he essentially told everybody, hey, we don't have a lot of time. I'm here. I only have about an hour. Let's go to work. So basically, when he showed up, they just went straight to scrimmage. And we heard he got the third stringers, just picked four guys up off the bench. They took on the starters, and they won. That's the impact Jimmy Butler could definitely have for you. One of the best two-way players in this league. They won. Sources told ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski that he then looked at general manager Scott Layden and screamed that you effing need me. You can't win without me. And that he left his teammates and coaches largely speechless. And he dominated the gym in every way. Now, we don't know exactly how this whole thing will turn out. Of course, Karl Anthony Towns isn't going to say much, but he does not want Jimmy Butler to be there. And you could kind of figure out the same exact vibe from Andrew Wiggins. Jimmy Butler told Andrew Wiggins to keep that same energy. Now, I don't know if he kept that same energy at practice yesterday. It sounds like he didn't. It sounds like a lot of the players really didn't say much. Some people were saying that they were inspired by Jimmy Butler being out there, and that could definitely be the case. You have an energy plug coming in, a spark plug, excuse me, coming in and energizing some players, just having that energy out there. And I'm sure it was probably the most intense scrimmage that they have had as a team this year. Now, you have to remember the impact of Jimmy Butler. They were on pace to be the fourth seed in the Western Conference with Jimmy Butler. They end up losing Jimmy Butler due to injury. And not only did they barely make the playoffs, they had to win their final game of the season to get into the playoffs. So they definitely barely got by without Jimmy Butler there. I don't think they're that much of a better team this season. I think Derrick Rose will have a more prominent role. I think he will help out this Minnesota Timberwolves squad. But you have to look around at the rest of the Western Conference and see how they improved. You have the Denver Nuggets, who they eliminated. But the Denver Nuggets are going to be a better team this year. They did add some firepower. Even Isaiah Thomas coming off your bench later on in the season, he will help you out. You have another year of camaraderie. I like the Denver Nuggets. Of course, the Lakers, another team that missed the playoffs last year, they are better. And I think there's no question in my mind the Lakers are a playoff team this year. So it's going to be tougher for you to make the playoffs, even as an 8 seed in the West. So if you definitely want to make that run, you're going to need Jimmy Butler, or you're going to need to trade Jimmy Butler and get some valuable pieces that can contribute right away. And I think that's what Thibodeau wants. That's what Scott Layden wants. If they're going to move Jimmy Butler, they want a player that can help them win right now. Yes, they will love to get some draft picks. Yes, they will love to get some young guys who can help, but they want some young guys that can help them win right now. And that's why they haven't agreed to a team for a deal. That's why Jimmy Butler is still in Minnesota. It's going to be hard to find that. And I think, in their opinion, they believe the best route to take is just having Jimmy Butler show up. If they have to play some games with Jimmy Butler, they're not going to mind that. But they're trying to get Jimmy Butler's trade value as high as possible, because Tom Thibodeau does not want to be on a rebuilding team. He does not want to be on a fringe team that could barely make it. That's probably realistically what they're looking at this season. But he wants a team that can compete and that can make some noise in the Western Conference. Jimmy Butler needs to be there for that. But it looks like Jimmy Butler is going to try to galvanize a lot of these players. I know personally, him, Karl Anthony Towns, him, Andrew Wiggins don't get along. But on the court, basketball relationship-wise, I think Jimmy Butler can help them out. And he can hopefully try to spark a fire underneath them. Because we know Karl Anthony Towns completely disappeared in the playoffs last season. He was the absolute no-show come playoff time. And we know Andrew Wiggins, at times, yes, he could be the most talented player, but he doesn't play like he's the most talented player. He doesn't show that same heart that he's the most talented player. He shows heart as if the same heart as somebody saying, hey, I'm the number one pick. Everything's supposed to be given to me. And now he shows the heart, especially the last few preseason games, that, hey, I get paid $30 million. I don't have to go 100%. This is just preseason, but he hasn't looked good at all. So Jimmy Butler, he did return to practice. Definitely made some noise at practice, but he definitely returned. We'll see what happens if he gets traded by the end of the week or if he starts off the season with the Timberwolves. There's no question in my mind he's going to play. He's going to play well when he's out there on the court, but we will definitely see what happens. Now, somebody who is also or who is on a new team, Jabari Parker. He had some beef with his old team in Milwaukee. He felt like that should have been his team over Giannis Antetokounmpo's team. Now, I think that is crazy. I think Giannis, although drafted after Jabari Parker in the draft, Giannis is a superior talent to Jabari Parker. Jabari Parker, yes, he was the second overall draft pick. Yes, he has a lot of promise, and he has seasons where he looked fantastic. Injuries definitely did have a tough blow for Jabari Parker. But last night, he wasn't in the mood to talk to reporters after the game. And the reason why was, shockingly, he came off of the bench. No, Jabari Parker did not start. $20 million man per year, signed a two-year $40 million deal with the Bulls, and he did not start. But you can't blame the Bulls organization for deciding to bring Jabari Parker off of the bench. Throughout the preseason, yes, it's still preseason, but you have to take into consideration how some of these guys are playing. Jabari Parker has been struggling with his shot. During the first three preseason games, Jabari Parker was shooting 9 of 37 from the field. That's not good at all. That's not a shooting performance you want from somebody you're paying $20 million per season to. On top of that, he ended up coming off of the bench, and you're thinking maybe he's going to perform a little bit better. He did slightly, but he still shot 4 of 12 from the field last night. So the Chicago Bulls, they end up winning, but Jabari Parker already seems frustrated with the Bulls, and this is before the regular season has begun. You have to remember, not only does Jabari Parker think he should start, Jabari Parker believes he should be the best player on a team. And he's always done that. He was one of the top players in the country coming out of high school. He was the top player for Duke, his one and only season in college. He was the second overall draft pick in the draft. And initially, the Milwaukee Bucks was supposed to be his team. We didn't know how good Giannis would be. And that was supposed to be Jabari Parker's team. And he's seen the injury happen, and he's seen right before his eyes that team being taken away and handed to Giannis. Well, not handed, earned by Giannis. So he believes somebody who is slightly entitled. He believes he should be the man. He believes that he should get paid, which he did get paid, but he believes he should be out there and he should be definitely leading out this team. So you can see the frustration. He's coming off the bench. He has been struggling with the shot. I do think it's a situation where Bobby Portis has been playing well this offseason, this preseason. So you had to give a shot to Bobby Portis. He still played pretty well yesterday. I think if Jabari Parker gets his shooting situation figured out, I think Jabari Parker would be reinserted into the starting lineup. But although he did not start last night, he still played 26 minutes. The only people who played more was Zach LaVine, Justin Holiday. Zach LaVine, he's been playing good. He's been playing up to that money that he signed over the offseason. So I really wouldn't complain. I don't think it's a huge situation, but it is one to begin to monitor. You want to see how he handles this situation, how he handles adversity, because that's what he's facing in his own right. I think he's going to be okay. I think he will regain that starting spot at some point. But Nats talking to reporters after the game, you could definitely feel that he's not the most thrilled with his current situation with the Chicago Bulls. So we had a ton of games, had 7 total games last night. We'll kind of go into the quick recap. So we already went over the Lakers and the Warriors. LeBron James led the team. They ended up winning 123-113. The Washington Wizards, they defeated the Detroit Pistons 102-97. And John Wall, he looked very, very solid as well. 32 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds from John Wall. And the Wizards, I said it before, watch out for Washington. They're a team that is as talented as almost any team in the Western Conference, besides Boston, of course, and maybe Philly. But Washington is right there when it comes to talent. They've been a team that has been flirting with being great in the Eastern Conference for a few years now. The only problem is they have a ton of issues behind the scenes and in the locker room. And you can see it on the court that they play down to their competition. And at times, they just don't enjoy playing together. But they've been looking better so far this preseason. It looks like they're definitely all on the same page, all in one accord when it comes to, let's just go out here and let's try to win. And the Wizards, they've definitely been looking like that in preseason. 3-1 in preseason. Of course, it is preseason, so you don't want to put too much weight into it. We'll see how they look next week. But so far, I have been impressed by the Wizards. Bradley Beal, he has 17 points. So, them two together, they've been looking very, very good. I have no issues. From that, Andre Drummond, of course, is going to lead the way for the Detroit Pistons. Their front court is fine. Back court. They have Reggie Jackson, and he's going to have games where he's okay. He's going to have games where he's not that great. Ish Smith's going to be the same exact way. That backcourt needs to be figured out for the Detroit Pistons. But the front court, extremely, extremely good. The Orlando Magic, they end up defeating the Memphis Grizzlies 102-86. Jonathan Isaac alert. He had 15 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals. This is a pretty big year for Jonathan Isaac. We need to see how he can adapt to being a starter, and we need to see how he can adapt throughout his second season in the NBA. Did not show a whole lot last year, but he still has the potential because of his size, because of the stuff we've seen him do in college. He had a good game, 15 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, only missed one shot, only shot 5 times, but only missed one shot. Not a bad game from Jonathan Isaac. Aaron Gordon got paid. He needs to start stepping up his game, but he did look decent last night as well. So, no Mo Bamba, out with that right wrist injury still, so we can't really see him. But Jaren Jackson from Memphis Grizzlies, their first round draft pick, came off the bench still, had 10 points, had 5 rebounds. He looked pretty solid. He did foul out of the game, however. Chandler Parsons, he looked a little bit better so far in preseason. Did not look that good last night to me. Michael Conley did lead the way, though, with 24 points. Only 1 assist, 9 of 14 shooting. Marcus Gasol, he's going to have ups and downs. Yesterday was somewhat of a down. Missed all 3 of his 3-point shots. He did have 9 rebounds at least. Did have 5 assists. But you're going to need more. I think Marcus Gasol is going to need to have a season where he's going to try to average 18 to 20 points a game. And I'm not sure if he could give that to you based on what we've seen. The Brooklyn Nets were defeated by the Toronto Raptors 118-91. And although the Nets lost, Jared Allen, D'Angelo Russell, they looked very, very good last night. Jared Allen had 24 points, 8 of 12 shooting. D'Angelo Russell had 18 points, only 2 assists on 7 of 17 shooting. So combined, they went for over 40 points together. Caris LeVert was really the only other factor in that game. He had 13 points, but the Toronto Raptors, just a superior team. We know how good the Raptors are going to be. Danny Green hit 6 3-pointers. So you add that addition to the Toronto Raptors, somebody who can absolutely get hot and start knocking down shots. He looked good. Kyle Lowry only had 5 points, played 20 minutes. Kawhi Leonard played 31 minutes, had 11 points, but he filled out the rest of the stat sheet. 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 steals, only 1 turnover. He just struggled with a shot, 3 of 12. But I think he's going to get into the flow of things. He's going to figure out that situation. I think Kawhi Leonard will definitely have a solid year. The next game we're going to be talking about, the San Antonio Spurs end up losing to the Atlanta Hawks, thanks to Trae Young knocking down a 3 at the final seconds of the game. Trae Young, fantastic shot. He had 22 points last night, 4 of 8 from the 3-point line, had 7 assists. Torian Prince, he had 25 points. He led the game for the Atlanta Hawks. Vince Carter got the start, played 26 minutes, had 3 points, only shot the ball 4 times. Kent Bazemore, he played good as well from a little bit I've seen in this game. So Atlanta Hawks still pretty bad team, but you do have some young pieces that you are excited looking at moving forward. San Antonio Spurs, They're one of those teams that could be in jeopardy of not making the playoffs. They lost to Jonte Murray. Clearly, the guy who stepped up was Pau Gasol early in the game. He has 7 assists at halftime. He finished with 10 assists in the game. Yes, Pau Gasol finished with 10 assists in the game, 7 at halftime. The starting point guard was Derek White last night. He had a pretty solid game, surprisingly. He had 15 points, 3 assists, 6 rebounds, trying to replace Jonte Murray. DeMar DeRozan had 15, struggled shooting a little bit, did not make any of his three-point attempts. We know he's not traditionally a three-point shooter, but DeMar DeRozan, he will get things figured out as well. And the San Antonio Spurs, they need to figure something out if they want to try to make the playoffs in that tough Western Conference. They're right there, one of those teams on the brink. They just need to figure things out. The Miami Heat, they end up defeating the New Orleans Pelicans 140 to 128. So clearly no defense in this ball game. Pelicans haven't won a game, which is going to start leading to rumors that maybe Anthony Davis could be traded. Now, you have to remember Anthony Davis did not play last night, though. He was out for rest. Still no Jahlil Okafor, who's out with that sprained right ankle. Julius Randle was the one that was holding it down for New Orleans. Had 23 points. I like Julius Randle. I like the heart that he plays with. Huge fan of him at Kentucky. Huge fan of him for the Lakers. He had 23 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists in that one. But Bam Adebayo was the one that stole the show for me. 26 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 steals, 3 blocks. Bam Adebayo definitely stole the show. He got the start because Hassan Whiteside was out due to rest. But he looked very, very good in those 27 minutes that he played. Josh Richardson must have heard his name in these trade rumors. He stepped up last night, had 25 points on 9 of 16 shooting, hit 4 threes, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. Those are the two guys that definitely held it down. Like I said, no Justice Winslow, no Hassan Whiteside, no Goran Dragic, no Dwayne Wade. They all sat out due to rest. But the Miami Heat looked pretty good, and Bam Adebayo definitely stole the show. Looking at the Indiana Pacers, they lost to the Bulls. We did talk about it a little bit. The Bulls end up winning. Jabari Parker came off the bench, but the Bulls won 104-89. Really wasn't much to take away from this one. Indiana Pacers, they're going to be a very solid team. I think that will stand this year. I think they will still be a good team in the Eastern Conference. Chicago Bulls, full of young players. They just got to figure out that true identity, who is going to step up, who is going to be the man on a night-in, night-out basis. Jabari Parker came off the bench. Bobby Portis, though, had 20 points. He's been looking good this preseason. Zach LaVine, he's also been looking good this preseason. So I think for the Bulls, they may be a team that can shock some people. I think they're going to hover around that 500 mark this year. But the Indiana Pacers is definitely a better team long-term. Then the final game, the Portland Trail Blazers taking on the Phoenix Suns, who has been looking very, very good this offseason. But DeAndre Ayton finally had his first game where he didn't play a lot. Didn't make a huge impact even while he played. He did have 9 points, though, in those 15 minutes. 4 rebounds, but when you looked at the box score, they were just being outplayed, even with him on the court. So he didn't play a lot of minutes. The Suns, they're going to have their ups and downs. They're going to have games where they look good. They have a very, very good core, a very good foundation to build on. They're just not there right now. Starters, though, just didn't play a lot of minutes last night. They're definitely more of a rest game than anything. Josh Jackson, of all the starters, of all the young guys, he played 28 minutes. He had 13 points. Josh Jackson did still struggle shooting the ball a little bit, but they are hoping that he can come into form this season. Devin Booker could be back for a tip-off, so that is something to also watch to see how long Devin Booker remains out. But DeAndre Ayton had a very, very good preseason. Yes, didn't have the best game last night, but DeAndre Ayton clearly is looking like he could be the best rookie out of this draft class, at least so far. For the Portland Trail Blazers, they end up going with Seth Curry as one of the starting guards, and Nick Stauskas as one of the starting guards also. Portland Trail Blazers, though, end up getting the win. It was Layman who had 28 points for them, leading them. They looked okay. Of course, there was no Damian Lillard out there on the court. So you don't really get to see everything from the Portland Trail Blazers. They look decent this preseason. Some guys trying to make the team. Baldwin, he looked good coming off the bench. And definitely guys trying to make the team. And then Gary Payton II, he looked pretty decent coming off of the bench as well. But they only played 8 minutes, so a lot of minutes really just distributed evenly through a lot of those players. So that was all of the games from last night. Thursday, only have three games. We have the Toronto Raptors taking on the New Orleans Pelicans. The Utah Jazz, who's been looking very, very solid, they take on the Sacramento Kings. And the Maccabi Haifa, I believe how you say their name, taking on the LA Clippers at 7:30. The nationally televised game on NBA TV was the Utah Jazz and the Sacramento Kings. But that is everything that we have for today's episode. As always, if you would like to stay connected, please make sure you follow me on Twitter at DLloydTV. That is DLLOYDTV. If you would like to stay up to date with all the latest news, roster transactions, rumors, all of that good stuff, make sure you go ahead and subscribe to us on YouTube at DLloydNBA. We're trying to get to 30,000 subscribers, so every single subscription definitely helps out with that one. That is everything that we have for today. Of course, we will be back tomorrow to break down these games, break down all the latest news, and of course, I'll give you guys my opinions on all of the latest news around the National Basketball Association. Until then, hope you guys have a good one. I will see you guys tomorrow. Peace.